righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Oh, I like that.
The righteous run into it, and they are saved.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Oh, church, that's beautiful.
The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved.
Your Bible. Oh, the musician, thank you so much for music and singing. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 37. Chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verse 37. Hold your Bible in your hand, and please, if you will, keep your Bible open all during the sermon. We have some other scripture to go to. Now, I want to tell you without a question, there's somebody in this building that God wants to give you some real forgiveness this morning. God wants to clean up your life. Now, before we go to the text, we're going to take a moment with you standing to honor a man of great stature of this church. He has been one of the elders of the church all my 50 years. And Brother Buck, you may not remember, but this month marks 50 years that I've been your pastor. 50 years, 1968 to 2018. How about 50 years? I've been Brother Buck's pastor. Would you stand, Brother Buck, if you don't mind? Let me tell you something. I've never heard him say a word of gossip. I've never heard him say an unkind word about anybody. I've never heard him in any degree, any way, show anything about his life out of order. He has lived this Christian life, my 50 years knowing him, as pure as I think is possible for a human being to do. He is a man of great, great stature in my eyes. A man that cannot be less than loved by any of us. There's just no way. Brother Marlon, I want you to let him give a word of praise. We love you, Brother Buck. We're going to have a wonderful dinner in honor of you because you're special to us. How many can say, I honor James Lindsay? Would you raise your hand? He has lived the life. You know anything about him to criticize, Brother Marlon?
No.
You don't know nothing? Anybody here can remember some ugly thing he said? some action that was unkind. I don't think it happened in my 50 years. Praise the Lord, Brother Buck.
I really and truly do praise the Lord for all his sweet and wonderful blessings to me. I wouldn't trade this church for nothing else, nowhere. I don't care where it is. I love the Lord, and I am going to serve him with all my whole heart the rest of my life. Thank him and praise his sweet, holy name.
Amen. Would you give him a hand, big and strong, that he will never forget? Buck Lindsey, we love you. We love you. Thank you for being a faithful member to a pastor. Hallelujah. You've told me every time you've ever heard me preach how great you liked that sermon. If I can remember, I don't remember one. You just say, oh, Brother Chambers, that sermon was so good. You even said that for the bad ones. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Buck. Hallelujah. There's nothing as precious, nothing as precious as faithful men. You may be seated. No, we're going to read the Bible. I'm sorry. As faithful men and women, and we got a lot of them. I walked through the cafeteria a little while ago, and I said, I got to go back and preach before I eat, but I sure did want to eat. Right, day, it smells so good over there. And I hope everybody is part of it. I do. Now, you got your Bible, and you're ready. Let's go to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 2, one of the great stories of the Bible. Now, when they heard this is verse 37, they were pricked in their heart, not in their head, in their heart, and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, these are the people who have been pricked. What does the word pricked mean? It means they were convicted in their hearts. They were convinced inside. It wasn't an emotional show. It was a deep conviction. They were pricked in their hearts. And they asked the preacher man, what shall we do? They wanted to know what to do about this condition. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. And we're having a baptism, Brother Robert, next Sunday after church in the backyard. A baptism next Sunday after church in the backyard. Okay, Brother Robert? I know you're excited. All right. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, and listen to this, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You got to save yourself. Did you know that? That don't mean you do the forgiveness. That means you do the repenting. You do the turning. You do the surrender. Then he says, he'll do it. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. I want one of them days bad. Brother Dylan, wouldn't that be something? Oh, it's so good to have Joe Mender here this morning. Joe was saved right there behind that post in 2006. Right there behind that post, Joe. I remember where you were standing. Hallelujah. Joe Mender, good to have him this morning. Now listen, then they that gladly received the word were baptized. The same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrines. See, they got saved because they continued steadfast. Did you hear that, church? Did you hear that, saints? They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Now, I want to preach, the Lord helping me, on a day for forgiveness. A day for forgiveness. Now, every one of you all over the building, think, could this be my day? May this maybe be are ordered for my day. Father, help me this morning to love this people with the love of a shepherd. And help me to say what I ought to say. This sermon has been heavy on me for 3 days, Lord. Coming like a storm upon my heart. Coming like a storm upon my mind. And I want to preach until souls are wonderfully forgiven. My burden this morning is for somebody that has not confessed some sin, to confess it this morning and to be forgiven of it. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now, I will do my best not to preach overly long, but I've got to get across to you this message. It's really been dealing at me, coming at me, about the need of old-fashioned conviction. Holy Ghost conviction. Do you understand something? I say this before I start the sermon. You can't convict nobody of anything in their heart. You may convince them in their head, but that won't save them. They got to be convinced in their heart. They got to be convicted within. And that's what I want to make real today to all of us, is that we need a mighty moving of Holy Ghost conviction. I've been praying for it with all this inside of me. I've been crying out and squalling before God to send us Holy Ghost conviction. There are such a multitude of people on their way to a devil's hell. Senator John McCain died yesterday. And this morning when I read about it, I almost prayed for him. Had stopped myself because I was immediately concerned about his soul. Was he right with God? Was he in hell within seconds of his departure? It's an overwhelming thought, and they're everywhere. Now, I want to talk about three things. Listen to me carefully. I want to preach about the Holy Ghost as the convictor. Then I want to preach about forgiveness. Forgiveness, that is a total change of heart. A total forgiveness. A total surrender to God. And then I want to talk about how the Lord's forgiveness goes deeper than just mind or just thought, but goes to the very core of the person and of the being. Now let's talk about the Holy Spirit. How many of you understand the person of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a member of the triune God. Not three gods, but three persons within a God whole. Three persons within the God understanding. Marvelous, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Each of them is a person, a divine being. Each of them. The Holy Ghost is a divine being. Now listen, the Father sits upon his throne in the heavens. The Son sets at his right hand to intercede for us. And the Holy Ghost is omnipresent. He's everywhere in the whole of God's created world. There is no place you may go and the Holy Spirit not be there. He is omnipresent. You understand that? That means he is full, complete, and altogether present in every sphere of God's great world. The Holy Spirit is the omnipresent member of the divine Godhead. The Father on his throne, the Savior at his right hand, and the Holy Spirit filling his world to bring us to the understanding of God. So the Holy Spirit is the convictor. The convictor. Let me take you just for a moment back to John, the book of John, chapter 16, and show you what God says about this person of the Holy Spirit. This is absolutely something you can believe every bit of. You can trust every word. Go to chapter 16. Chapter 16. And look at these words. Nevertheless, that's verse 7. I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. This is Jesus saying, it's for your purpose that I'm going back to heaven. I'm going away. For if I go away If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you from the Father. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Ghost to you from the Father. Now notice what he says he'll do. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Notice that. The Holy Ghost sent by Christ from the Father comes into our world to reprove us of sin. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, he is convicting sin. Does everybody understand that? You got to get this now. Wherever the Holy Ghost is, he's convicting sin. I was thinking, Brother Joe, about churches that have a loud hoopla, a loud what they call Holy Ghost visitation, but the church members, week by week, carry the same sins home and commit the same sins that week, although they had a great visitation of the Holy Ghost last Sunday. I'm here to tell you, if the Holy Ghost is in a place, he's convicting sin. And if there's no conviction of sin, there's no Holy Ghost there. Are you listening to me? And let a church shout and hoop and holler and do all the loud noise they want to make. And if sinners are still leaving with the same old sins and the same old lifestyle, there's somebody telling something not true. Raise your hand and worship God with that for a moment. I don't think I can say anything greater this morning. I was in a church where the pastor claims to be a holiness preacher. I was preaching on a Monday night, and I was preaching about the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of your body, being the vessel of the Holy Ghost. And when I got down to the nitty-gritty, the meat of the sermon, three families got up and walked out on me immediately. I mean, they must have been planning that. If this preacher starts getting on our toes, we're going to get out of here. And they got out of it. It shook me so bad, I hardly was able to finish my sermon. And I'm saying, what in the world? Where is this holiness preacher been that pastors this bunch of folks? If you live in sin, I'm going to make you uncomfortable. If you continue in sin, the Holy Ghost is going to deal with your heart. God's going to get a hold of you. If I claim we had a great move of God last night and everybody left smoking cigarettes and living like they've been living, something's wrong. Woo, somebody help me shout. Oh, Cassandra, raise your hand and love on him, Holy Ghost of God. Oh, let us now understand wherever the Holy Ghost is, there is conviction of sin. There is conviction of sin. If you say, Brother Chambers, you make me miserable, please understand the Holy Ghost is what made you miserable. Won't Brother Chambers? A man can't convict you of sin. A man may make you mad about your sins, but he can't convict you of sin. I heard about a pastor who preached about hell until his members were so tired of hearing it, they quit coming. So they got a new pastor. First Sunday, he preached on hell. And everybody got in the altar. And they said, what in the world happened? The other preacher, you left because he was preaching on hell. And this one, you're in the altar. They said, well, the other preacher wanted me to go to hell. This preacher doesn't want me to go to hell. This preacher's compassionate. He cares about me. Hallelujah. I want to tell you one thing. You may get a little bit bothered by my preaching sometime, but it ain't Brother Chambers. The Holy Ghost of God anoints the truth. It's supposed to bother you. It's supposed to disturb you. You're supposed to want to run and find God. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, wherever he is dealing with sin. He shall reprove you of sin. That's what the book said. I just read it to you. He will reprove you of sin. Let me read a little more. He will reprove you of sin because they believe not on me. He will reprove you of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Ghost does three things. He convinces you of sin. He convinces you of impending judgment. He does. And then he convinces you of righteousness and the way to live. I've seen people through the years, after they got saved, they'd try to do something they shouldn't do, and they'd get miserable in the course of it. And the Holy Spirit would deal with them, and they'd start living right. So God's dealing with you because he wants you to live right. I want you to understand the Holy Spirit isn't making you miserable because he's angry with you. He isn't trying to make you uncomfortable. Only in your sins does he make you uncomfortable. Only in your sins. And he will deal with your heart. Now, would somebody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost? Is there anything the church world needs like it needs a visitation of the Holy Ghost? I don't believe there is. I don't believe there's anything, because when the Holy Ghost moves, he will deal with your sins. If he doesn't deal with your sins, it's because he's not anywhere close by. It's because you've not surrendered to him. When you come to Christ, he'll deal with your sins, and you'll get them out of your life. And don't tell me you're saved and go to church every blue moon. Oh no, when you get saved, he deals with everything about your life. Everything about your life. And his whole purpose is to bring you to Christ. I remember, and I hate to tell this, but I need to tell you. When I got saved, I was kind of out of kilter, out of whack. And I remember now when I got saved. And I remember when I was about 14, got saved at 16. I went to school early one morning, and I was mad at the principal. And I wrote card with my knife in the door of the principal's office. Old Lady Simpson is an SOB. I carved it with a knife. When I remembered that Thursday morning, I started sobbing. You'd already left, Martin. Nobody else had come in. And I started sobbing. I thought, God, how did I do such a horrible thing? And I was sitting here squalling. And the Holy Ghost said, but you're forgiven now. And I threw my hands in the air, and I shouted loud enough to be heard anywhere on this campus, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. Now, I'm telling that little story because I want you to understand, when you get saved, you confess your sins. I couldn't find that school teacher, but I went looking for her. I found her address. I wrote her a letter, and I said, Dear Miss Simpson, her name was Miss Simpson. I said, Dear Miss Simpson, I'm Joe Chambers. And I did a horrible thing years ago. And I want you to know how sorry I am. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I wrote a letter. I wanted forgiveness. See, we used to be told make restitution when you get saved. If you've stole something, you need to go pay it back. If you sinned in any form or fashion, you need to take every sin you can find on your record, and you need to ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you and believe him, because he's going to forgive you when you ask him. How many of you knew that? Oh, he will. He will. I remember how I felt when I'd written that teacher a letter. She was an older woman by then. I don't know how old she was. I couldn't find her, but I found her address. And I wrote her a letter, and I got forgiveness. And you know, to feel that Thursday morning, I was grieving. You see, anything you've ever done, when you get saved, you hate you ever did it. You'll never be proud. If you're proud of your sins, you're still a sinner. If you're proud of how you live, you're still in a wrong mode. It's when you are sorry for your sins that God forgives you. Right, Brother Buck? When you're sorry, and I was so sorry. I was so sorry that 66 years later, I was squalling. Have any of you got some sin back there that breaks your heart to remember? But you're thanking God they're forgiven. Raise your hand and thank him for forgiving you. Thank him. Thank him back there, Brother. Brother Jose, thank God he's forgiven me. I'm so grateful. And that was one of now I guess it was not my worst one, because I had some pretty bad ones. But I want you to know one thing. I confessed them all. I don't hold none of them back. I've confessed them. Do you know what? I've confessed some of them a dozen times or more. You say, why? Because they're not. I just still grieve. I was a sinner. I hate I ever lived in sin. I want you to hate every day you ever spent in sin. Now, please understand, the Holy Ghost is the convictor. The Holy Ghost moves upon, not your head, He moves upon your heart. He moves upon the inside. He moves upon the very conscience of your life. Because He wants you to be forgiven. He doesn't do it for any reason but that you might be forgiven. Now, go to the book of Romans. I want us to understand this great grace of God's forgiveness. We'll go to chapter 6 of the book of Romans, one of the greatest chapters in your Bible. You can find nothing greater than Romans chapter 6 when you deal with sin. Now, I want you to listen to me. Please be careful. I'm not trying to preach a sermon and get an accolade from anybody. I'm trying to bring right down to where we are. What shall we say then? This is Romans 6 and 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Can I get saved and continue in sin? Can I get saved and keep on lying? Can I get saved and keep on doing wrong? He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Listen how he answers, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now you got to notice the word there, dead to sin. See, when you truly repent, when you truly are sorry and you say, God, I take myself guilty. I did that. I did this. I did the other. You may have to name a bunch of them. Can you do it all at one time? Well, you can, but I would say it's good for you to take a few days and go through your life with an absolute assurance and try to mark every one of them and ask for forgiveness. Is this okay? Now, I know He forgives you in mass when you kneel at an altar and you say, God, I'm an old sinner and I want to be saved. He'll save you right then. But He wants you to confess your sin. The Bible says it. I'm going to read it to you, okay? I want to make sure you hear what the Bible says. That word confess is a marvelous word. It really is. Romans 6 and 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him in death by baptism. That like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together with Him, but if we've been planted together in His likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now listen to me. I want you to make sure you get it. God's word makes it plain. Go to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Now you go on and on. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead into sin. Now you confess your sin. The Bible said confession is unto righteousness. The Bible says repentance is turning from sin. Confession is owning your sin. And God this morning wants you to own whatever you've done that was wrong. I'm a Christian, Brother Chambers, and I did this thing. Maybe it was bad. Maybe I shouldn't have done it. Ask God to forgive you. And that will settle it. The Bible says, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father of righteousness. Hallelujah. God, if you're a Christian and you sin, God immediately is asked by Christ to grant you repentance. That's what the book says. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. The advocate is Christ, and He goes to God for you. Brother Derek, He goes to God for you. If you have sinned and you're not miserable about it, something's wrong. But the moment you feel misery is the moment the Holy Spirit just brought you to conviction and now repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Throw your hands high and say, Lord, I confess my sin. Hallelujah. Now, let's wait a minute right here. I want you to think about your own life. Don't think about that terrible thing I did. I'm really kind of ashamed to tell it. But I only tell it because I want to make a point that you make restitution when you do wrong. You've stole from a grocery store. You need to go and make restitution in that grocery store. Brother Chambers, I'd be shamed to death. That's the purpose of restitution, is that you do feel the shame of it. You do feel the misery of it. Oh, God, help us this morning. There's somebody in this building. Somebody that's still hung up on tobacco. Did you know? One moment of confession at that altar for your habit of tobacco, and he will forgive you, and he will cleanse you, and you'll be made a new creature, and you won't want that nasty stuff that gives you cancer any longer. Is that okay? Oh, Brother Chambers, now, I'm not ready to get rid of my sins. Then you're not ready to be saved. That's right. Amen? Right. You're getting quiet on me now. I want you to understand what I'm preaching to you. It's out of my heart. I want this to be a day of forgiveness. I want it to be a day of forgiveness. Let's go to one more passage of Scripture. Please join me. I'm doing my best to bring you something that will change our life, okay? I want our lives to be changed. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Romans 6 and 11. And alive, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we confess our sins, listen, let me quote the word to you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from sin. I mean, really? And he goes on to say, from all unrighteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, God is a God of great forgiveness. I don't think there's anything you can say about God that's bigger or better than forgiveness. I think it's the greatest thing I could ever say about my Heavenly Father, that he wants to forgive you. Let me take a story in the Bible. How many remember the story of the prodigal son? How many remember that story? Have you ever heard that story? The prodigal son. What happened to the prodigal son? He went to his father and said, Father, I want the things that belong to me. And he took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance in riotous, evil living. I mean, he became a rascal. He became a sinner. He spent everything the father had given him of the inheritance. It was gone. And now he took a job feeding the pigs for a pig farmer. Now, I know what feeding the pigs is. As a little boy, I was raised. One of my first jobs at the home and in my family was to slop the pigs every morning. You ever heard that term? Slop the pigs every morning. Who's ever heard that term? Robert, you've heard it? And my job was to slop the pigs. That meant I took the slop bucket. Understand? I took the slop bucket and carried it down to the pig pen. And there was a trough with a opening that led into the trough. And you poured the slop in and the pigs got up in it. That was my job. Feed the pigs. Well, this young man had been raised in a beautiful home, had a father that loved him, and he's off now, spent all his living, and he's feeding the swine. And the Bible said, when he came to himself. Quote those words with me, would you? When he came to himself. Everybody in the congregation, this morning, I'm trying to get you to come to yourself. You say, I'm enjoying my sins. I'm trying to get you to come to yourself. I'm trying to bring you to the point that you see your sins. You see your transgressions. You see the way you've lived. You suddenly understand. Anybody here waking up? Anybody here thinking? Anybody here that will say, I have sinned? Slip your hand up, you have. Slip your hand up. I have sinned. How many in here, since you got saved, you've committed sin? Let me see your hand. I have. I remember telling a lie after I got saved. Boy, that hurt so bad till I got it taken care of. See, so many Christians in the church do not confess their sins anymore. The church is full of people who are careless. You love the world. You live careless. You hardly know how to pray. You don't know how to read your Bible. You just warm a pew and you have no sense of it. You have no awareness that you're living so careless. Your oil is long ago gone out of your vessel. If Jesus would come, you aren't going. So we need a day of forgiveness when we all face what we are. I have been facing what I am for days in this altar. And I'm not going to tell you I'm proud of everything I've discovered. I don't need you coming and telling me what's wrong with me. The Holy Ghost will tell me, I'm telling you. I live for Him. And I promise you the Holy Ghost don't give me no leeway. I've always said I can't get away with nothing. And that's how you know you're saved. Is when you can't get away with nothing. You say something ugly to your wife, and you feel like a heel. That's what some of you husbands need to ask your wives to forgive you, because you're bossy and mouthy with her. The bread gets a little overdone; it upsets you. See, we need to go clean with God. I'm after us going clean with God. I'm after us getting right down to the nitty-gritty and facing ourselves. And I'm here to tell you, when the prodigal son came to himself. Now I want you to close your eyes a moment. Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to let every person in this building come to themselves. That young man that's a sinner, let him realize he's a sinner. Don't let him leave here and go to hell and think he's okay. Father, I remember the little lady I talked to Friday and told her she needed to quit claiming religion when she knew she wasn't saved. I said, you know you're not saved. I'm telling you, all you've got is religion. She said, Brother Chambers, why would you accuse me of that? I said, because I see it. I'm a pastor. I care about your soul. This woman is a dear person. She has a son in our school. He's been here for years. Absolutely years. Absolutely years. And she's just still. She won't move. Well, see, what I've got to realize is the Holy Ghost got to get a hold of her. Brother Chambers has had a hold of her several times. And I'm not getting anywhere. So I'm going to depend on the Holy Ghost. How many will pray right now for that lady without knowing her name, that the Holy Ghost will deal with her? That the Holy Ghost will deal with her and bring her to repentance. She's a dear lady. She pays dearly to keep her son in this school. I can remember, I guess he's been here since he's a little tot, and he's one of Ginger's students this year. Well, that mother needs to be saved. Well, you got to come to yourself. I can't make you know that you've sinned. But Holy Ghost, I'm praying right now, you'll make somebody know what they did was wrong. Holy Ghost, I'm believing you to deal with somebody that's a sinner. You know you're lost. You know you've sinned. You've transgressed the law of God. You've done things you should not have done. And God is showing you that. I believe He's doing that right now. Father, I'm claiming it. Church, will you help me claim it? I'm claiming it. I'm claiming it right now. Rush, boy. Hallelujah, Holy Ghost, deal with every heart in this building. Don't let anybody leave here with guilt. Bring them to repentance, Lord. Bring them to repentance. Oh, I'm waiting on the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm really waiting on the Holy Ghost this morning. Hallelujah. That prodigal son came to himself. You know what he did? He gave those pigs a goodbye, and he left that pig pen and started home. And I'm going to tell you about the Father of forgiveness. The Father met him halfway or somewhere close to home. The Father met him before he made it home and gave him utter forgiveness. He's ready for you. Somebody right now, you know you need forgiveness this morning. Let's do something different. If you know you need forgiveness, why don't you get up right now and come down here and kneel? Just get up right now and come down here and kneel. Somebody's fixing to move. Somebody's fixing to move. Somebody's fixing to move. Just let her kneel by herself right now. We'll pray with her in a minute. There's others in this building. You know you're guilty. You've lived in things that you had no business living in. You're a Christian and you got things in your life that shouldn't be there. I'm asking you, get up. Be a man. Be a woman. And find your way to this altar and say, I'm coming to confess what I did. I'm coming to ask God to forgive me. Come, Daddy. God bless your heart. Somebody else. Brother Chambers, I don't want to go to hell. Do you know if you take your sins and keep bearing them that you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire? Come in the name of the Lord. God bless you, Daddy. God bless you, dear man. I'm doing things different this morning because I feel it. And I tell you, I felt the enemy fighting me ever since the service started. But I'm just going to obey the Lord this morning. There's some of my good people that you've gossiped. You've run your mouth about somebody in their absence. When you talk about somebody in their absence and criticize them, you're gossiping. I got some gossipers that need to be in this altar this morning. I really do. Oh, Brother Chambers, I can't confess that. Well, I have gossiped and had to be forgiven. And I'm your pastor. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I've done things I had to get in that altar and forgive, get forgiveness for. Anybody else? I'm coming, Brother Chambers. I've got to have forgiveness. I've been lazy about church. I've been lazy about the house of God. I got people here. You can't come to church on time to save your life. That's a deep problem. There's something wrong. You're undisciplined. I don't know what it is. It may be just undisciplined. You go to bed too late. You watch some junk on television. You ought to be in this altar repenting. You ought to be in this altar repenting. Come in Jesus' name. I'm not going to stop yet because I got people who hadn't moved. I have got to be clean. If I could, I'd get in this altar, Joe Chambers. But I've been on the altar for weeks now, and God's dealt with everything about me. I'm wondering when he's going to leave me alone a little bit. Because he's showing me everything about Joe Chambers that's not quite up to par. I'm glad he is. I'm not ashamed of nothing. No time I've ever had to go to God. Ashamed of what I did, but not of going to God. Anybody else? Brother Chambers, I'm not living as close to God as I ought to. My prayer life has been terrible. My prayer life has been terrible. Why don't you get up and come and say, I'm repenting of a lazy prayer life. A lazy prayer life. I tell you, that's as big of a sin as anything wrong in the church today. It's lazy prayer people. Thank you, dear lady. Anybody else? Well, the good people are moving. And so when hallelujah, Brother Chambers, I'm coming this morning. I'm coming. Now, we're going to kneel this morning. Wherever you come at this altar, I want you to get on your knees. And I want you to confess anything about your life that shouldn't be like it is. Anybody want to be saved? Would you like to be saved, little lady? Would you like to be saved, dear man? He loves you. He's reaching for you, darling. He really is. You're a dear girl. Oh, I'm reaching for you. I'm reaching for you this morning. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you. You can meet death before you get home. You understand that? This week could be the end of your life and you're not saved. That means you are going to spend eternity in hell. I don't want you to do that. Somebody's supposed to move. Come to the piano for me. You're just angel. I got to call Shev Ramar. Thank you, Brother Bob. That's precious. God's going to set you free. Sister Yvette, will you come for me? Hallelujah. Oh, she's in the altar. Can you pray and sing at the same time? Hello, Corby. Hallelujah. I could get Brother Joe, but that's not fair. Make him do all that moving. Listen, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Anybody else you need to come pray? Anybody else? Some of you need to pray that aren't moving. Oh, I maybe you haven't heard me. Hallelujah. But if there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, and if you've gotten religion, the reason people, Brother Dylan, get in our altars and they say they get saved and they don't go on and they it's just up and down and in and out is because they never really confess their sins. when you confess every sin you've ever done and you really go to God and bear it before Him, I'm telling you, when you get up, you won't want to go back to that path. Oh. Do you understand that I shed my blood for one reason, to cleanse you from sin? I died as your redeemer, saith the Lord. I took your place. I became guilty in your stead, so that now all you have to do is confess that sin and I will cleanse it, saith the Lord. I will wipe it away. Your slate will be clean, saith the Lord. Everybody standing? Everybody standing? And every person in this church that wants to come and put yourself in this altar and pray and ask God for His hand, I want you to come and kneel. Brother Joe, don't you try to kneel, okay? You knew that. Anybody else? I'm coming. I'm going, and let's get on our knees. Oh, we reserve all these front pews. There's a pew on the left and a pew on the right. There's a place to kneel. I want you to kneel. I want you to come, and Angelina family, all of you, we love you. Come. Come, Brother Joe, and I'll kneel with you. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Somebody that's not saved, why don't you step up and come? You may be seated if you don't want to come to the altar. You may be seated. It's okay. Oh, but I wish you'd come and pray. Hallelujah. Now let's kneel and let's talk to God. Sing for us, Yvette. Hallelujah.
Search me, O God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray with your little granddaughter there, Brother Joe. Helikai celebrate. Hurry, I send it for you. Oh, I feel His Holy Ghost in the Mohaya all over this building. It may be quiet here this morning, but that's okay. You're confessing. You're confessing. You got any you need to confess? You have? Won't you come pray? Come on, darling. How I love you. Hallelujah. Confess now. Look at your whole life. Look at this. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not trying to embarrass nobody, but I don't want anybody to leave here with anything in your life that shouldn't be there. I want Christ to be the Lord of all. I want Christ to be the Lord of all. Sing it out if you would.
For our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities. Truly He bore our sorrows, and with His stripes we are healed. As fear and doubt come against your life, and has your faith been sorely tried? Just lift up your eyes, for here comes your help. It is Jesus, and for you He has died. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole.
And when by faith you just reach out and touch him, you know that Jesus will hear your every plea, and that he will respond to that cry that's deep in your heart. He will cleanse you and he will make you whole. So just let faith arise in your soul. Rise.